The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. So Chewy said after the break, or before the break rather, what is time? Chewy said before the break, where would you rank Jordan Love in the NFC? Funny you should mention that, Chew, because Chris Cantillana on Sportsmanlike this morning, well, he had a thought of where Jordan Love is right now in the NFC. Take a listen.
It's starting to look a lot like what we saw in the second half of the regular season last year. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the upside of Jordan Love when he's at his best. He can spin it with the best of them. And if we get that version of Jordan Love that we saw in the second half of last year on into the playoffs, the Green Bay Packers are the scariest team in the NFC. Not the Philadelphia Eagles, not the Detroit Lions. It's the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love at his best is better than Jalen Hurts or Jared Goff.
So there's a couple things happening there, Chew. It's not just that right now he is the best, but at his best, he can be better than every other quarterback in the conference. Do you agree with that statement by Canty?
No, I don't. I think Jalen Hurts at his best with those weapons and with that running back is dangerous. Just because of his legs. I mean, the passing the ball, they're pretty equal. But Jalen Hurts, if you're going to play man-to-man against his receivers, and if your pocket breaks down from a rush standpoint, he's gonna hurt you. He's going to hurt you. And he's a big dude. So, I mean, he's not far off. Goff, when he's at the top of his game, pretty damn accurate. So I wouldn't put him head and shoulders above the rest. And the thing, the reason why these last two games Jordan has been so effective is because the running game is going so well. What did he do against San Francisco? Threw the ball 17 times. Gabe, it was like 17
against,
and then
20. So against Chicago it was 17, against 49ers it was 23, and then 28 against Miami.
Okay. I don't know. Do we want Jordan throwing the ball 45 times if he has to, which might be a possibility tonight if this turns into a shootout? I don't know.
I think if it turns into a shootout, Chew, the best way the Packers keep pace is still keeping Josh Jacobs and having Jordan Love turn around and hand the football
yes.
off.
Like he's
but remember, the way that they use Josh Jacobs,
Chew,
the way that they used Josh Jacobs this past time was not just as a runner, right? His rushing yards were actually pretty low. It was the versatility of using him in the passing game as well that made him that formidable weapon. So there's a part of me that feels like continue using Josh Jacobs, continue giving him a heavy load, but don't keep it just to him running the ball. Because the Detroit Lions are really good against the run, right, Gabe? I think last time we checked, they were like fifth in the league against the run. Holding teams to under 100 yards on the ground. So Josh Jacobs is a weapon. I'm just saying make sure that you continue using him in the passing game, which, again, limits the targets for some of your other guys. But, again, I keep going back to the controlled environment, and I keep thinking, like, if Jordan is the guy, this is the game you have to show it because you don't have to worry about weather. Yeah. And you are supposedly 100%. And, yes, it would be nice to have Romeo Doubs out there, but the thing we kept banging, the drum we kept banging, Todd Rundgren, as the season got started was, oh, it's such a luxury to have all of these wide receivers, such a luxury to have this depth at this position so that if somebody were to go out, like we now have with Romeo Doubs and the concussion protocol, you have somebody who can just step up. Do you still feel similarly about the depth of that offense, Chew?
Yeah, I mean, not having Doubs will hurt a little bit. I mean, he's a reliable third down guy, and he's a very good red zone guy. But they have other guys just have to step up. I mean, you got to factor in the drops as well, because I'm sure that's frustrating to Jordan, and that can wear on you. The important thing is he's trending in the right direction, as he did last year. That's what I like. But, you know, we just got the text from Adam, or whatever it is, Twitter or that stuff, on how beat up Detroit is, and especially their defense. They're still not giving up points.
Yeah.
They gave up 20 to the Bears. They gave up 6 to the Colts. They gave up 6 to the Jaguars. They gave up 23 to the Texans. They've given up 14 to the Packers. They've given up 14 to the Titans. There's no 35 or 42 in there, right?
So does that change your mind about the shootout that you said earlier? You said earlier this could be a shootout with both of these guys, you know, trying to air it out. Does that change your mind about a shootout?
It doesn't, because we know it's in it's in there with Jordan. He's just got to pull it out. He's got to, like I said it a couple of weeks ago, keep stacking success. You know, and Gabe, we went through a play yesterday on All 22.
Hey!
Did I get it?
You nailed it.
Nailed it. Where they were in the 2 minute, and, you know, the Dolphins were playing very soft coverage, and Jordan recognized that. Instead of forcing it down the field, he dumps it to a check down, which was the right throw to Tucker Kraft, and let Tucker Kraft do his thing. It was a 7-yard catch with a missed tackle and turns it into 14. That's LaFleur telling Jordan, look, you don't have to get it all in one shot. Give or take what the defense is giving you. It's a lot like how Brett had to learn how to defeat the Tampa 2. You know, because Brett always wanted to throw it downfield and this and that. And it took him years to be like, there's nothing wrong with a 6-yard check down game. That's what they want you to do. That's what they're forcing you to do. So take it. So Jordan
is why I think,
you know, he is making steps and strides.
It's why I think that Tucker Kraft will continue to be an increasing part of the offensive game plan as the weeks go on. Gabe, I want to hear from you on this. Chris Canty saying that Jordan Love has the potential, right? I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. At his best, he could be, or at his best, he is the best quarterback in the NFC. Do you agree with me that in order for that statement to be true, you have to show out tonight? You may not win the game, but you have to play damn well in order to earn those qualifications, in order to earn the distinction of having the potential to be the best quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah. Because to me, when you make a statement like that, oh man, at his best, he can be just as good as anyone else. You know what that means? It means the dude's inconsistent. It means right now he is inconsistent. And when you start diving into his numbers, like, he's all over the place. Yards per game, he's 8th. Yards per attempt, 7th. Those are great. 27th in completion percentage, 3rd most interceptions. Like, these are the things that when we talk about the Packers beating themselves, this is what we're talking about. Having those incompletions leads to 3 and outs. Having those interceptions leads to the other team having great scoring opportunities. Those are the mistakes he has to limit. I don't know if he necessarily has to ball out in order for the Packers to win tonight, but he has to have a very efficient game. We can't, you know, okay, so they, you know, take away the deep shot. Make sure you're taking your checkdowns, you know, extending drives on third down, and do not, for the love of God, do not turn the ball over. Like, those are the things that he just has to do. Maybe the numbers fall in line, and he has a 300-yard game, and he has 3 touchdowns, and he's spectacular. But to me, it's more about those simple things of, hey, you have to continue the drives on third down. You can't turn the ball over. That's how this offense is going to run at peak efficiency. And if it turns into a shootout, that's how you stay in the shootout. And that's what I worry about. If they're in a shootout, and Jared Goff has a long touchdown to Jamison Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown, or, you know, they have these big explosive plays, is Jordan disciplined and patient enough to go, okay, we don't have to get it all back with an 80-yard touchdown right now. We can just have an 80-yard drive with Jacobs and Reed and Tucker Kraft and use the weapons at their disposal.
And that's a really good college thesis there, Gabe, of saying, and I'll just Cliff's notes what you said there, which was really well said, decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to decision-making. Jordan Love has an opportunity tonight, too, to show us that he has evolved in the decision-making space, that he can see the entire field and make the right choice on any given play.
But I guarantee Aaron Glenn, Detroit's defensive coordinator, his number one task is saying we can't let Josh Jacobs run wild. He's trumping Josh Jacobs over Jordan Love because they don't know. They don't know. They don't know what Jordan Love can do if he throws it 45 times. They don't. And we don't either. We don't either. So I guarantee they're going to go into this game saying, you know, Josh Jacobs is one of those players like a Tyreek Hill. Let's give him 80 yards, like Tyreek Hill. Let's give him 80 yards, but let's not give him 160 with 2 touchdowns. They're saying, let's give Josh Jacobs 60, 70 yards, and I feel good where we're at. Because it kind of nullifies your play-action game. And then it's just drop back. That's what they're going to do tonight. I think they're going to make a concerted effort to contain Josh Jacobs, not to stop him.
Yeah, and that's why...
That's what I would do.
And I look at the numbers, and you mentioned the tweet that Schefter had sent out ahead of tonight's game saying, no other NFL team has more than 7 defensive players on injured reserve. Detroit has 13, and he lists all 13. I mean, really, outside of Marcus Davenport and Aiden Hutchinson, who were injured earlier this season, it obviously hasn't mattered much against the run because those guys have been missing for a while, and teams have not been able to run the football against Detroit. And that's why I look at the number, that the sheer number that they have. It's almost like when the Packers had the 13 or 16, whatever it was back in 2010. Yeah, there were a couple of guys on that list that certainly hurt, like JerMichael Finley. But a lot of the key guys that they really loved, especially on offense, are still healthy. And yeah, Taylor Decker's not playing tonight, but that's still a really good offense. And they've figured out the defensive part, even though they've been so beat up.
We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Chris Canty says that Jordan Love at his best can be the best quarterback in the NFC. He's not saying that he is right now. I'm saying if you want to be in consideration for the best quarterback in the NFC, tonight is the night that you earn those stripes. Tonight is the night where you show the league that you are the best quarterback in the NFC. We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do you agree with Chris Canty and his take on the Green Bay quarterback? Lots of stuff to still get to this morning. I believe we have what? Do we have top 8 at 8 today?
Top 8 at 8.
Well, top 8 at 8 action coming up next, Gabe?
Yeah, top 8 at 8. We're ready to go.
Did you lose me? You lost me.
We can hear you.
Top 8 at 8. We'll do it coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed. When I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. He got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the Jewelry Center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my championship ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it. The Jewelry Center. They have 3 locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, big guy, you know how the game works. Got a list of 8 things in front of me. You and Josh, are you going to guess with Jen, or are we working on some technical issues?
I'll help out here.
All right. So I've got a list of 8 things in front of me. You guys guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we'll open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776. The list in front of me today is NFL-related. Among active head coaches in the NFL, I am looking for the ones that have the most wins without a Super Bowl championship. Active head coaches who have the most regular season wins without a Super Bowl win.
This is a good list. This is a good list, Gabe. It's a tough list.
Kyle Shanahan.
Kyle Shanahan is number 2 on the list. He has 69 victories in the regular season.
Just
take the layup, Chew.
What's the layup?
Look at my hat.
Oh, yeah, he didn't win one yet, huh? Let's go with Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn is number 5 on the list. 51 career regular season victories.
That was for spite.
I'll take the layup and just say Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur is number 3 on the list. 65 career victories.
Hold on, Joshy.
I think there might be an opponent that would be.
You said active, right?
Active head coaches.
Dable. I don't know.
I don't even know where Brian Dable ran. Hold on.
I want it out.
I put four on the list, like, after.
Yeah.
Like,
Sean
okay,
McDermott.
Sean McDermott's number 1, 83 regular season wins. Brian Dable, 17 career victories. Okay. He is 17.
I don't know who the coach of Arizona is. I don't know Seattle. I don't know New Orleans.
None of them are going to be on the list.
I don't know Chicago.
Not long time enough coaches.
Yeah. They haven't won enough.
This is all their first time out.
These are all names you know.
You said active, right?
Yeah, active. There's 32 active head coaches in
the
NFL.
What do you think active means?
Oh, I thought you said NFC.
No.
Okay. What?
What's the list? Run it down for me again, Gabe.
All right. So, again, active coaches in the NFL. NFL.
Yes, that's important.
Most wins without a Super Bowl win. So Sean McDermott is number 1. Kyle Shanahan is number 2. Matt LaFleur is number 3. Dan Quinn is number 5.
All right.
Am I out?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You are out with Brian Dable.
I'm trying to run through all the divisions here and their coaches. Obviously, Sean Payton's one. Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh, 52 career wins, does not have a Super Bowl championship. He is number 4 on the list.
I'm probably getting close to out here. I could probably throw out some other names potentially. Like Mike McDaniel's won a lot, but it hasn't been that long.
No. I took the city out, Joshy. Took him out a couple years ago.
Well, you took out both San Francisco, and then you took out, was it Tennessee? But their coach is brand new.
No.
What's the other city you took out?
It's very early in our time. I don't even think Jen was on the show when Chewy took that city out.
I don't think Josh was either.
No, certainly.
No. Josh certainly was not on the. Yeah, if Jen was not on the show yet, then Josh was not on the show yet.
Cincinnati, Zach Taylor.
Zach Taylor is number 8 on the list. Yeah. 41 career victories.
And we have how many left?
2, 6 and 7.
6 and 7. I'm just gonna say Mike McDaniel. I'm running out here.
Again, Mike McDaniel,
not
25 career victories. He is, I believe that would be number 13 on the list.
There's probably someone glaring me in the face that I'm missing, but.
Yeah, there's one tougher one that's, you probably should have got. Done a lot of wins. 800-990-3776. We are looking for the 8 active head coaches with the most wins who do not have a Super Bowl championship. We have 1 through 5, Sean McDermott, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, do not have 6 or 7, and then Zach Taylor is number 8. Let's start with Mike in Franklin. Mike, you're up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's the top 8 today.
I'm going to say Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell has 30 career victories. He is number 11 on the list. So he is out. 800-990-3776. Let's go to Sean in West Bend. Sean, you're up next. It's the top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Mike Zimmer.
Zimmer is not a head coach in the league. He is a defensive coordinator, so that is incorrect. Let's go to Dumpy in West Bend. Dumpy, you are on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Good morning. Could you reset the list for me?
All right. So we are looking for active NFL head coaches who have the most wins without a Super Bowl win. Sean McDermott is 1. Kyle Shanahan is 2. Matt LaFleur is 3. Jim Harbaugh, 4. Dan Quinn, 5. Zach Taylor is 8. So we need 6 and 7.
Matt LaFleur?
Matt LaFleur was number 3.
Oh. Roy Munson.
800-990-3776. Sam in Kenosha. Sam, you are up next. It's the top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Just two names left. The top 8 active NFL head coaches without a Super Bowl.
Did someone guess Dan Campbell?
No, so you can, but Dan Campbell is incorrect.
I'll do that.
He is just outside. So Zach Taylor had 40 career victories for Dan Campbell, which would put him at number 9. 800-990-3776. Mike in Franklin. Mike, you are on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the top 8 at 8.
I'm going to go with Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni, a lot of success in his career in Philadelphia, 44 career victories. He is number 7 on the list, leaving us with just number 6. And this, I thought, was always going to be one of the tougher ones.
Yeah, I know Campbell's been named already. That was my next guy. I'm at a loss here. Sorry.
All right. Appreciate the call. We just have one more name to close it out. Active NFL head coach who has the 6th most victories without a Super Bowl championship. Steve in Oconomowoc, can you close out our top 8 at 8?
I think this is a tricky one because he's been on 2 teams. Doug Peterson.
So Doug Peterson, good guess.
He won a Super Bowl, yeah.
But he won a Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
Yeah, Doug Peterson, 62 career wins, would have certainly been on the list, but he's got the Super Bowl championship.
You got to think of 2.
Forgot that, thanks.
But I don't think your logic is not flawed.
No, I know who it is. It's one of 2.
All
it's
right.
One of 2 bad coaches.
John in Oconomowoc. John, you're up next. Top 8 at 8 at Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have 1 left. The 8 head coaches active in the NFL who have the most wins without a Super Bowl.
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles with 49 career victories.
Yes.
Again, he's been to a couple of different stops, so he is number 6 on the list. John is our winner today on the top 8 at 8. Kevin Stefanski, also just on the outside looking in, he had 40 wins. Raheem Morris would have been number 12 with 27.
That was my other. It was Bowles and Raheem Morris.
Yeah. So there you go.
People aren't big on Bowles down here.
Really?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I think he's one of those guys that's a better coordinator than he is.
Than he is a head coach.
Yeah.
Could be.
That's.
Are you going to finally stop giving love to that division?
No, one of them's got to win it.
Well, someone's got to win it, sure, but that doesn't mean they're good.
Yeah, but don't sleep on them.
Nah, I'm going to sleep on them. Again, Josh, he's in a coma on the Atlanta Falcons, and he still hasn't been woken up from that coma after Kirk Cousins threw a pick 6 to lose the game. That's your boy, Kirk Cousins.
If they win one playoff game, then I win. That's worthy of a don't sleep on.
Yeah. If the NFC South, whoever wins the NFC South, if they win their playoff game, which will be at home, it will be a home game because they won the division. Yes, I will. I will the next day.
Joshy? I don't care about you, Gabe. I only care about Joshy. Is Joshy going to give me credit?
I don't know. We can certainly ask Joshy later. He's getting the information from John, who's our winner on the top 8 at 8. So we'll see if he is willing to give credit to you if the NFC if the NFC South wins a playoff game.
And they got to get past divisional round.
But they got to go to the NFC Championship game?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You can't make up the rules now this late in the game.
You just made up your rules. You're the king of making up rules. You're making up rules. I'm making up rules.
Usually, see, here's the thing. Chewy, you usually just slide that past. People let it go. Nope, not Joshy. You got to wake up a little earlier, Chewy, to slide that one past Joshy.
The fool Joshy.
We still have plenty to dive into. Packers-Lions coming your way tonight. Still 11 hours away from kickoff. We continue to break that game down next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Pottawatomie Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. You can now use your Pottawatomie Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. Nice to be back with you. with you, gang. Having a little technical difficulties from the home office today, but we'll get it figured out. We'll make it work. As we talk about the Green Bay Packers taking on the Detroit Lions tonight in a huge divisional game, I want to know the recipe for success. What do the Packers need to do? What do you need to see from the Packers tonight in order to walk out of Ford Field with a victory chew?
They need to create some pressure with four, and I'm not talking sacks. I'm just talking pressure where Goff's a little uncomfortable and has to throw the ball, because I think not having Jair is very scary, because that leaves you with two corners that are just okay going up against what I believe are two elite receivers. And then Laporta, how are they going to defend him? How are they going to defend him? Because I believe that Detroit's going to come out and try to establish the run. And the reason they're going to do that is to get their play action game going. If that happens, that's going to be trouble. So we have to be prepared, I believe, to turn this game into a shootout, which you're not going to be able to throw it 17 times or 23 times. You're going to have to throw it 40 times. And like you said earlier in the show, Jen, this could be a huge, huge day for Jordan. And this is where he can sit there and say, okay, this is why they paid me $55 million a year, because I'm able to do this. So I really think it's going to start with the defense. If they cannot contain this offense, then we could be in for a long day.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking, Jen, about how, you know, oh, this is perfect conditions for Jordan Love. You know, you're inside a dome. Well, they're also going to have to deal with the crowd noise. Offense for the Lions won't have to deal with that as much since they are at home. And if you can't get pressure with those front four, this defense is going to get cooked. Because then you got to try to bring, you know, an extra guy or two. You're really leaving those cornerbacks on an island. And when you're going with Eric Stokes or Valentine or Nixon one-on-one with Amon-Ra St. Brown or the speedy, you know, Jameson Williams, like, this game over. Like, it just, you got to get pressure. That's the way that teams have been able to slow down the Lions offensively. It's what the Bears were able to do in the second half that allowed them to score just one touchdown. And when, you know, the Bears were able to come back and make that a game on Thanksgiving, if you cannot get pressure with that front four, it is going to be really difficult, especially without Jair Alexander.
We had a few weeks ago, guys, shared some numbers from the cornerbacks unit where we were talking about opposing quarterbacks, QBR, versus the Packers' defensive backs. And I don't remember the numbers exactly, but I remember they weren't good. Right, Gabe? They were not good.
I think everything was over 100.
And Jared Goff has been good against good defensive back units. So that right there is definitely an area where it makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I got to be honest with you. I am optimistic about the Packers' ability to hang with the Lions to show that they are one of the best teams in the NFC. Heck, I wouldn't be surprised if they walked out of there with a win. But Chu, you mentioned Laporta earlier. What is the key defensively to slowing him down? We know they have the two-headed monster running the ball in Gibbs and Montgomery. We know they have formidable pass catchers as well. But you mentioned Laporta, and I think that's a really interesting wrinkle. If you're the Packers, how do you stop him tonight?
You have to stop the run. You have to stop the run because tight ends, quarterbacks love their tight ends and play action pass, and it's so much easier. I mean, I just go back to one of mine and Brett's bread and butter play, Fox 2 XY hook. You can't stop it. You can't stop it because the Mike linebacker who's responsible for guarding me and stopping the run, there's no way he can recover. If Detroit is moving the ball, running it, there's no way that Mike linebacker is going to abandon the run to cover the tight end. It just doesn't happen. So that's why it's so important. And Jen, I think you said at the beginning of the show, they have been better against the run. It's hard for me to believe that they're in the top 10, though, as far as stopping the run. Is that accurate?
The Packers?
They're seventh?
Yep.
Yeah. So that gives me some hope, but I believe Detroit's going to go into this, try to establish the run, and if they allow them to do that, like I said, it just makes Goff's job so much easier. If they can just get him into straight dropbacks and create some pressure, kind of like what we saw against the Bears, He will make mistakes. He will not be as accurate. He will give this defense opportunities to pick the ball off. So I know it's a tall task and it sounds pretty easy, but I think that's going to dictate on how this game goes.
Well, Jen, you mentioned how big of a game you think it is for Jordan Love. It's a bigger game for Quay Walker. Because Jordan Love, I mean,
just going to mention him.
He's going to be the Packers quarterback for the next 5 years regardless, right? Like, he signed the big contract. He's locked in. He'll have opportunities to play in other big games and have big opportunities and big moments for the Packers. Quay Walker's played his best football of his career the last two games. All right. Is this, okay, you were taking advantage of two teams that were beat up and not that good, and you were able to build your confidence, but now you're going up against the best offense in the league with a great tandem 1-2 at running back. Can you carry over what you did the last 2 weeks and apply that to what you're doing against the Lions, or were those just two, okay, those were just the aberration, that's the one that sticks out? Like, you have to build on that momentum if you are Quay Walker and continue to play the way you have the last couple of weeks if the Packers want to have any shot at stopping the run tonight.
And look, maybe there's some confidence being built there, Chew, because Quay Walker, yeah, I believe, was the highest graded Packer against the 49ers, wasn't he? When Pro Football Focus put out their grades for the Green Bay Packers, I think Quay Walker had the best grade of all of the Green Bay Packers. That's above Elton Jenkins. That's above Josh Jacobs. That's above Javon Buller. That's above Xavier McKinney. So, like, he is showing signs of, and I don't know if it's just Jeff Hafley's, the defense that he's put together and the scheme he's using or using him differently, but it does feel like he is on an upward trajectory. Chew, I agree. I hope that that continues and he will be a huge key. You were just mentioning the linebackers. That unit will be a huge key in getting a victory tonight. Go ahead.
Well, it's, you know, it's like I talked about stacking wins and stacking success and Jordan Love stacking, getting better from game to game. It's the same as Quay Walker. And throughout his career so far, he hasn't had a lot of great games, but then he disappears for games. This is a game he can't disappear. And what I wanted to say before I cut you off is I'll be very interested to see the pregame, if there's any chatter, because Detroit's going to try to intimidate. They are. They're a physical team. That's kind of their MO. I want to see how this Tucker Kraft, Joseph thing plays out. Because usually when you run your mouth early in the week, that doesn't go away. Bulletin board material doesn't go away. And Tucker Kraft said, you know, he said some aggressive things. Like, I'm going to play football the way I play football. Well, we're going to see. So I'm wondering if I'm just wondering to see the pregame and if there is an intimidation from Detroit and how Green Bay handles that. I know it
sounds
crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Go ahead, you.
But back in the day, and not big games, but when we played a good team in Lambeau, we knew the game was over before it even started. You know, that's the kind of confidence we had. And I think Detroit is kind of, maybe not to that level, but a little bit of that level. They feel very comfortable playing at home. I believe a majority of their games have been inside. Am I right or wrong? So this team is built for domes, and we're going to see how this thing – you know what? This is probably the most excited I've been all year long for a game.
Ooh.
All year long.
All right.
And how okay. I'm still
kind of – Which brings us to this question. Are you going to bed before or after halftime?
Depends how the game is. Because I can know. I know if a game's over or not. I just have that power. You know? I do. I'm sorry. I can just tell the way the game is going. I know how this thing's going. You know, it's like you read a book or you watch a movie. You know how the thing's going to end. So
you knew the Packers, Carl Brooks, was going to block a field goal attempt by the Bears? You could see that coming?
Well, that's during the middle of the day, Joshy. During the middle of the day, I don't have to know how it ends.
Your powers
when the sun goes down, I have to know how it ends.
Stupid question by me. Good point.
He's like a werewolf, but only with predicting NFL games that happen at night, you know?
That's dumb by me.
Yeah. All right, listen, Kenny Chesney, when the sun goes down. The Lions, rather, are 5-1 indoors this year. Their only loss coming, I believe, to the Buccaneers the second week of the season at Ford Field. Listen, what I've noticed, and it maybe it's the canty sound this morning from unsportsmanlike. If you missed that conversation, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, or we posted a link to it on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account as well. And then I'm remembering what Tom Brady said about the Packers when he was doing the broadcast on Fox a few weeks ago, saying that, like, it's all there for the Packers, guys. He sees the potential. He sees that this could be a good team, a team left standing at the end of the season, but they haven't actualized it yet. They haven't done it yet. And to me, it's like, tonight is the night, guys. Okay? Tom Brady, Chris Canty, everybody wants to say this team could be really good. We see the potential. We see all the weapons. We see the moves on defense. We see the additions in the offseason. But now is the time it has to happen. I'm going to walk in tomorrow morning, and I know I'll be at game day and you guys are going to do a show, but I'm going to be real disappointed. Real, real disappointed if they get absolutely curb stomped by the Lions tonight. Because I agree with the Tom Brady's of the world. I agree with the Chris Canty's. This team has all the potential in the world to be a team, one of the teams left standing in the playoff picture in the NFC. But you have to do it tonight. You have to show it tonight.
Well, with that being said, Jen, let me just say this. Whoever wins this game tonight loses the next game in the playoffs.
Okay.
You're saying when they meet.
Yep.
If they meet.
Whoever wins this game tonight will lose the next game when they meet up again.
I don't love that, Chew.
I'm just
saying. Because if you win, I mean, again, if you would win one of them, you would want it to be if they play again.
Playoff game winner, go home. Yeah.
That's why I'm saying don't come in tomorrow like the sky is falling in this. Just, hey, you know how I am right here.
Yeah.
Never get too high. Never get too low. You can get low if they lose in the playoffs and don't make it to the Super Bowl. But in the middle of the season.
First of all, erroneous. I have seen you get high. Wait, scratch that. I have. No, hold on.
It is a Thursday.
Wait, I want to make sure that I am not incriminating anyone. My point is, I've seen you get feisty about stuff. So this whole idea of you just being this even keel, solid as a rock, is a bunch of bull you know what.
Because I know if they get beat by 10 or 14, people are going to, like, the sky's falling tomorrow. There's no need for that. Don't do it. There's a lot of football left, and there's a lot of time, not a lot of time, but there is time to get better to when you face them again. That's all I'm saying.
You've heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We've enjoyed having them help with our home projects. As you might know, Dario and I, not the most handy people, but when we have projects, guys, we are smart enough to call our friends over at PCI. They just celebrated 20 years in the business. Here's the thing. You don't get to stick around for 20 years in any industry unless you're pretty dang good at what you do. If you want more information on what PCI has done and what they can do for you, go to their website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com, professionalconstructioninc.com, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
All right, big guy.
Yeah.
Prediction time. Well, first, before we get to that, I want to make sure, because I referenced it earlier in the show when we had Jason on, I just want to make sure everybody is aware of this stat, because it is still absolutely bonkers insane to me. So I don't know if you've heard this. This was from Bill Huber after he did some digging from Sports Illustrated. But Eric Stokes, over the last three seasons, has played 999 snaps. It's a lot of snaps. Zero interceptions and zero pass breakups. And 999 snaps.
Wow.
And that makes me nervous. That makes me a little nervous going into a game featuring somebody like Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and the weapons that the Detroit Lions have.
It should. It should. And I think that's going to play a big part in the game. So you want my prediction?
Hit me.
34-27 Detroit.
34-27 Detroit? Hold on.
Yeah.
I got some notes here from our weekly wager last night. 37-24 Detroit. If you think the Lions are going to go over 27.5 and you think the Packers will go over 23.5 and you parlay those two overs together, Chew, you can get plus 220 out at Pottawatomie Sportsbook on that if you're that confident in that score.
It was my understanding that there would be no math on today's show. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about, parlay. Parlay sounds like that little fruit yogurt thing where there's some fruit in
parfait?
It. You get it, and it's like a...
That's a parfait.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Somebody's been watching Shrek.
Yeah. Yeah. I love a good parfait. I didn't know you
everybody loves parfait.
Yeah.
So if you think it will be a shootout, and I mentioned this last night on the weekly wager, it just depends on how convicted you are in that. You can get the Lions over 27.5 and the Packers over 23.5 at plus 220 odds on a two-leg parlay if you genuinely think both of these teams are going to put up big points tonight.
I think the Lions are going to put up big points. I think the Lions ultimately win. That offense scares me. I think it's 28-24 Detroit. But I think I'm going to walk out of this game. We've talked about that game in 2010 against the Falcons where the Packers went to Atlanta and lost, but they went, oh, we can still definitely hang. We're still as good as, you know, some of the best teams in the NFC. And I think you're going to have a similar feeling walking out of tonight's game. I don't think they get it done, but I think you're going to see, hey, we can't hang with these teams. Because, again, the last two times they played the Lions, they were down 24-3. When they played the Vikings, they were down 28-0, you know, at home. I think that this is going to be a closer game. It's going to be a competitive game.
I told our social media maven, Maddie, 31-27. Chu, what'd you say? 17-3?
34-2? For tonight's game?
You actually gave a real one?
You love to throw a
No, I gave a real one. That's what I gave Maddie.
34-24 Jen,
who are you going
Packers.
With? Because if you picked Detroit...
The Packers winning tonight's game.
Now they're going to lose in the playoffs. Thanks, Jen. Way to go.
At least we know who to blame.
Will Dean Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee.